All right, we are going to talk about today the good parent and the good child. And I would say that among the topics that we've covered, this is one of the most important ones. Because, guess what? The idea of parenting is embedded in the Ten Commandments. Do you know that? Honor your father and mother. So it's a really, really important topic. The other thing is, it's quite unique. Parenting to me is one of these really unique things where you temporarily have total control of somebody else's life with the eventual goal of releasing them to be on their own. Isn't that what a successful parent is? Not to hold on to that life, but to release that life. And then you know if they can be on their own that you've done a good job. Very unique thing. And to have that much power over another life is an amazing thing, right? There's no owner's manual, unfortunately. I wish there was. You know, you get your new car and you're reading an owner's manual. There's no owner's manual, so we kind of stumble along. And so what Proverbs has to tell us today is as best you're going to get for an owner's manual. There's going to be, and then we are in different stages in our lives. Some of you have no children yet, and so maybe some of the things we're going to teach here will be for the future. Some of you may have little children, I'm looking around, maybe, right? And so a lot of things I'm going to say here will be relevant here and now. And some of you are at the stage where you're kind of released your children. And so this is kind of a look back for at least on the parenting side. So there's something for everybody. Okay, so let's begin with what Proverbs has to say. The good parent is a good example. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7, we're going to start with Deuteronomy. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That was quoted today in the sermon. But if you read the next sentence, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Now look at that. Impress them on your children. Very interesting, right? So, the most important thing that you can do as a parent for your children is to love the Lord. Isn't that what it's saying here? Okay, we're done, all right? If you take away anything else, the most important thing you can do for your children is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Number one, okay? The righteous leads blameless lives. Blessed are the children after them. Live righteously. Righteousness is this idea of yearning to be a person to do what is right. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress. For their children, it will be a refuge. Fear the Lord. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. I thought this one's a very interesting one. Did you get that last part? It's saying that if you are a good parent, that your children will be proud of you. Isn't that interesting? That your children will be proud of their parents. Okay. So this is really the first thing, that a parent needs to love the Lord, seek righteousness, blamelessness, and if you, this is your job one, and your hope is that your children will be proud of you. Isn't that amazing? Okay, now, we'll read on. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of discipline will drive it far away. So what does it say here about the nature of a child? It says they're folly, right? They're fools, okay? That may sound harsh, but I think it's kind of true. We all start off, remember I started saying, we all start off stupid. We all start off foolish, okay? And we have to learn to be wise. And so it's just basically saying that when we're young, we're foolish. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son he delights in. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. How important is it to discipline? Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So this whole area, this whole advice about discipline, don't get caught up in this rod thing. It's a culture thing. But what you should focus on is this idea of discipline. Now, discipline assumes that we're all sinful. That's what it assumes. And that we all start off selfish and foolish, and that we need to be trained to do what is good. That's what's the assumption here. Now, discipline is a funny thing, because if you go one way, you're going to err. And if you go the other extreme, you're going to err. And there's the proper middle ground. If you have no discipline, number seven, right? And undiscipline is a disgrace. So we need to discipline. And if you don't discipline your child, the child will go off and continue to be foolish and do foolish things. And so you need to give a child discipline, right? On the other hand, you can be too harsh. Right? Number 11, fathers, do not exasperate your children. So you can err on the other side and be too harsh. There is a proper middle ground in terms of discipline. And as we see in number 8, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, that the underlining motivation for discipline is love. You love your child. Okay. Many years ago, I read a book called Boundaries. Have anyone read that book? Okay. It was actually very eye-opening to me. I think the author is Henry Cloud and Townsend. And one of the things that I learned through reading that book is that it is a very good and healthy thing to give a child boundaries. Okay, that you should tell them you can't cross this line or you'll get punished. All right? And actually, if you give a child boundaries, they'll feel safe within that boundaries, because you're given, they'll feel secure and safe, and they'll be happier within those boundaries, because they know that if they cross that line, that that's not good. And you will keep them as a parent from danger, even. Right? As they grow older, though, what you need to do is you need to expand those boundaries. You keep expanding them and moving them, because parenting is dynamic. You can't keep the same boundaries when they're a 6-year-old to a 10-year-old to a 14-year-old. You keep expanding those boundaries and the ultimate goal is you release those boundaries completely when they're in an adult. Okay? And so one of the things we need to understand is that discipline is something that is dynamic and growing with the goal of releasing. That's really what we want. That's our desire to release, release those boundaries. So that was a very helpful thing, and I think that it really guided my understanding of parenting. I have three children, by the way, and the first one I goofed up a lot. Okay, messed up. My oldest son needs to forgive me. Okay, and then the second one I got better. Okay, and then the third one, you know, smooth sailing. You know, in terms of what I thought I needed to do. And so, you know, again, we don't get an owner's manual. I found this verse that I just wanted to include here. It's kind of a freebie for you. And it's in 2 Corinthians 12:14. Now, I am ready to visit you for the third time. This is Paul speaking. And I will not be a burden to you. Because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Very interesting verse. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Paul is saying, I don't want to be a financial burden to you. And then he's comparing it with his understanding of a proper role of a parent. Do you see that? And he's saying that a good parent tries not to be a burden to their children financially, okay? And so this is kind of a little freebie for you, right? So how do we think of a good parent? Number one, a good parent needs to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and soul. A good parent needs to teach and discipline their child, not too harshly or not at all, but in a place where there's boundaries and it's dynamic and you're growing and growing those that discipline and modifying it. And lastly, a good parent is one who tries not to be a burden to their child. Okay? This is the advice that we find in Proverbs. Pretty good, right? Okay, so let's go to the child, the good son and the daughter is open to correction. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, or daughter, right? Keep your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you are awake, they will speak to you. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. So over and over again is saying to the child, listen and be open to instructions. Okay, we need to get to a place where we can hear and listen without being defensive, to be open to correction. And this openness then will carry on not only to listen to your parents, but it will be a habit in such that we can be open to any correction from any person and not be defensive about it and consider. I believe that what Proverbs is saying is that we need to listen and we are obligated to listen but not necessarily obligated to obey. We need to discern what is coming to us, evaluate it, and then follow the if it's wise, follow it, right? So I believe part of honoring our parents is to listen to them, to consider them. So let me give you a little story in my life that I learned about this. Is when I graduated college, I graduated with an engineering degree, and the Lord had been doing a lot of work in my life during my college days. And right when I was graduating, I had decided that I wanted to go into the ministry. Okay, so I remember thinking about it, and I went to my father and I said, "Dad, I'm thinking of going into the ministry." And my dad, who's an engineer, right? He flipped. Okay, he said, "What? What? You know, you just graduated." He said, "I spent all that money for all 4 years, and you want to just abandon this and go into the ministry? What are you thinking, child?" Okay, and so what it did was it opened up. For the next few weeks, we had a number of conversations over this. And finally, when after a while, he said this to me. He said, "Greg, is it true that if you have this calling from God, that you would sense this calling a year from now?" And I said, "Yeah, I think that's true." And he said, "I tell you what, you go into engineering for 1 year, okay? And if after a year you tell me you still want to go into this ministry thing, you have my blessing, okay?" And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, that's wise counsel, okay? So that's what I did. I went and I got a job at TRW. I worked for a year. And after a year, I had decided, okay, I'm going to go to seminary. And I went to Fuller, okay? And when I did that, I got my father's blessing. Now, looking back all of these years, he gave me very, very wise counsel. I didn't want to hear it at the time. I didn't want to obey him or listen to him, but he gave me very wise counsel. And I look back and I'm grateful that he gave me that counsel. And so this is an example where I had thought one thing, and by honoring my father, he actually gave me advice that was very smart, very wise. Okay? And so I think this is an example of what it means, that we need to heed our parents' instructions, consider it, and follow it if it's good, if it's wise, okay? Okay, so let's move on to the second thing. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, grief to his mother. To have a fool for a son brings grief. There's no joy for a parent of a godless fool. A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. If a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. If he who robs his father and drives out his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace. You know, I was thinking about what kind of son or daughter would curse their parents? What kind of son or daughter would rob and steal from their mother or father? And as I was just thinking about it and processing this, the thing that came to my mind is bitterness. Bitterness. You know, parenting isn't a perfect science. There are things that the parent may do that they regret. There are things that the child does, certainly, that they might regret as well. We're full of, we make many errors and we make many sins, and it's a difficult thing. And so when I think about a child and a parent, the verse that really comes to me is this passage in Colossians. It says, bear with one another. Do you remember it? Bear with one another. And it says, forgive each other if you have a grievance over someone else. Forgive them as the Lord has forgiven you. Let me tell you another story. When I was a parent with young children, we were in a van, I was driving. My dad was sitting in the passenger seat. And we were talking, and then he just stopped and he said, Greg, you're a lot better parent to your children than I ever was to you. That's what he said. And I recognized at that moment that this was a really, really crucial time, crucial moment, because he was regretting. That's really what he was expressing. He was regretting. And I turned to him and I said, Dad, don't worry about it. You were there when I needed you the most, and I love you, okay? And so I could see in his face relief and comfort. And so what did I do, okay? The Lord was smart to give me that wisdom at the moment, is that I forgave him. I gave him grace. I was gracious, and I forgave him. And so I believe one of the best things a child can do is to forgive their parents. Because certainly there are many things that a child needs to forgive their parents for. And so so that was really important. You know who's your perfect parent? It's not your physical parent. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your perfect parent. And as he parents you, you become fuller and more whole, such that you can lend forgiveness and grace to your physical parent. The Lord says to us that he wants us to forgive as he's forgiven you. And so we should lend forgiveness to those as much as the Lord has forgiven us. And he has forgiven you everything. And so we are forgiving people. And so I, in many ways, I released my dad, and he knew it, okay? And so that is one thing a child, one of the most important things you as a child can do is to forgive your parents. I'll give you another story. My dad has passed away now. I think it's 4 or 5 years. I can't remember. But about a year before his death, we were at the Orange County Fair. We just went to the Orange County Fair yesterday. And we were in that wine section. I don't know, where you do wine tasting. And he loved wine. My dad loved wine. So we were drinking there and tasting the wine. And he said something to me. He says, Greg, I want to let you know, I've been listening to your grandfather's sermons. Now, if you know anything about my dad is a PK. You know what a PK is? A pastor's kid. And he was the rebel of the family, okay? And I didn't really understand that, but to make a long story short, my grandfather, he was on the too harsh side of disciplining. He was much too harsh. on my father, and my father had to, in some ways, rebel against him. So when he said he was listening to my grandfather's sermons, I just was in shock. I said, "What? You got to be kidding me!" Okay. And then he told me some other things. He said, "Before your grandfather died, I made it a point to spend a weekly time with him at lunch." I said, "Really?" And before he died, he said to me, "Son, if you don't believe in God, you have everything to lose, and God exists. You have everything to lose. But if you believe in God, you have, and God exists, you have everything to gain." And my father sat there and he said to me, "You know, for the first time in my life, that makes sense." Okay. I was just in shock. I said, "Dad, this is unbelievable," right? I was so excited that I wrote it down in my journal that night. And when he died a year later, I quoted it. But here's what was going on, I believe. My dad was able to forgive for the first time his father. He couldn't separate the faith from his father. And when he lent forgiveness to his father, he was for the first time able to look at the faith in an objective way. And I believe that that was when my dad finally really truly accepted Christ. And so that was a gift, because he died a year later, and I miss him. I miss him terribly. Sorry. And I am looking forward. One of my hopes is that I will be able to see him again and be with him. So that's an example of where my father forgave his father. And that brought a place where he was able to embrace the Heavenly Father. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Okay, so I believe as a child, what the two things here, it says, listen to your parents, consider what they say, and that is how you're going to honor them, and forgive them for the human foibles that they have. And you know, hopefully, when you think of your parents, they were wonderful parents and everything, but sometimes that's not how it works out. And so I believe this idea of forgiving is very, very important, very, very deep. Okay. I will add a third thing. As a parent, one of the best things you can do for your child is to bathe them in prayer. Okay, even now, if you are in a place where you've released your children, realize that I think of this passage in Ephesians 6 that says the battle is just not physical, that is spiritual as well. And that the things that your children are going through, that you can affect change by praying for them. Bathe them in prayer. Pray for them constantly, that they will be protected from, and that they will be wise and make smart decisions. This is one of the best things you can do for your child, is to keep them in prayer. It's part of your loving them, part of your caring for them. Okay, so be a good parent. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And pray for them. And try not to be a burden to them, right? As a child, okay? Listen. If they're still around, listen to them. Hear them. Honor them. And forgive them. forgive them. Lend grace to them. Love them in this way and release them from the burden of their regret. Okay? Okay, so that's it for today. Let me pray for you and let you go. Lord, we pray that we acknowledge that you are our perfect parent. And we thank you that as our perfect parent, that you are making us more and more whole. You are giving us more and more peace, such that we can forgive our parents. We could lend them grace. We could release their regret. And we pray that you work in our hearts that we may do so. I pray, Lord, that if we're still parenting, when we have children, that we parent well and that we bathe our children in prayer. For the battle is just not physical, it's spiritual. And we pray that we will beseech you to protect and care for these children that we love. Thank you for this wise advice of Proverbs and Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. See you. I won't see you next week. You'll get Ecclesiastes. Pastor Shannon will do a great job. And then I'll see you in 2 weeks on Job.